Right. It's all right to have fun. Y'all know that, right? Amen. Thank God for that. Because if not, I don't think I'd be y'all's pastor. No, I'm joking. I'm just playing. Amen. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. I wouldn't go over there because I'm not going there. I'd go to 2 Corinthians, though. 2 Corinthians 1. We'll start about verse 1. I titled this, Faith or Frustration? Faith or frustration. Amen. I'll pray and we will get started. Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, and we do magnify your holy name. And we thank you, Father God, for another opportunity to gather around your word with like believers. I thank you, Father God, as we come here, I thank you that with the corporate anointing, Father God, we pull on the anointing of the pastoral office, Father God, to bring forth things that you would have, not only for this congregation, Father God, but also for me. I thank you for your light, illumination, and revelation. I thank you, Father God, as when we get light, Father God, we continually walk in that light. That qualifies us for more light. And so we thank you for it in advance, Father God, because we are walking in the light to the best of our abilities. Are there things that we can tighten up? Absolutely. And that's in everyday life. But Father God, I thank you that we are doing our best, and we're not just doing something and going, oh, well, that was just my best. But we're sincere about it. In our hearts, we're sincere about it. And so, Father God, I thank you. Holy Ghost, sir, we ask you to bring forth, unveil and reveal truths to us from the word. And I thank you. My tongue will be as the pen of a ready writer, bringing forth truths from the word this evening. And everybody that agrees says amen. Amen. Faith or frustration. That's what I titled this. I'll read a couple things before we read 2 Corinthians. The highest level of faith is complete rest and total trust. Amen. The highest level of faith is complete rest and total trust. There's no fussing, no worrying, no fuming, and no second guessing, and no why me, God. Amen. Amen. Faith can go to frustration real quick if we let it. So you can go from faith to frustration real quick if we let it, yes, right? Amen. Amen. One way is, well, God, why did they get healed? I've been believing for a while. Yes. You went from faith to frustration, yes, that fast. Yes. Well, God, why'd they get a house? You know, I've been believing God for a house for years now. Yes. From faith to frustration real quick. But God, but why? Look, God, I've been believing that my bills would be met, and I just saw somebody give them money to pay their electric bill. From faith to frustration real quick. So if I'm in faith, am I continually staying in faith, regardless of what's going on around me, regardless of what's happening in somebody else's life? Number one, I need to look at what's happening in somebody else's life as thank God for that. Hallelujah. If God will do it for them, He'll do it for me. Not the, well, God, why them and not me? You know I've been believing. That's from faith to frustration, because you're frustrated. Because now you're just letting frustration come out real quick. You know how we get sometimes with our spouses. You know, we come home and the dishes or the something's not clean, and you just see your kid laying in bed on their phone, because it happened to me the other day. And I was like, what do you think you're doing? I'm not going to work all day, come home and clean this house while you just sit around on your phone. Ain't going to happen. And I got a little mad. I did. Because, you know, look, everybody helps around here.
Right.
It's not just a free ride through life. You're going to help, right? And so I showed my frustration real quick, right? And so if we don't, we got to check ourselves sometimes, though. We got to make sure we're staying in faith and not allowing frustration to come up. Because as soon as frustration gets there, we got to shut it down and stop it. Because if not, we're going to say something that's going to hinder our faith that we're believing God for. But God, why? That statement right there will hinder whatever your faith, whatever you're believing God for. But God, why them? Because now you're not even in faith anymore. You're just frustrated and you're saying, God, you're not big enough. You don't even care about me. You're just doing everything for them. Yeah. And so you're not even in faith anymore. Yeah. Yes, amen. Amen. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen. 2 Corinthians 1, then 1, we'll read this one. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Who is he an apostle of? By the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, right? Yeah. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints, which are in what? That place. I agree with you. Amen. That's why I had you read it, because I already knew I wasn't going to be able to say it. Almost just tried, but it was way off. I said it in my head. I was like, that ain't it. Nope. Ain't even... But anyways, so are they saved?
Yes.
Amen. I agree with you. They are, because it says Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, right? And then Timothy, his brother. So they're out doing what God asked them to do, right? Amen. Right?
Yes, sir.
They're doing what they're saved, and they're, well, yeah, they're doing what God asked them to do.
Yes.
Now, go to verse 8, please. And then it says, for we would not, brethren, have you what?
Ignorant.
Ignorant. Of our what?
Trouble.
Of our what?
Trouble.
Which came to us in Asia, that we were
pressed out of
men. Amen. Anybody else want to read besides just Brother Clint? Amen. So we were what? Above strength. And so much that we what? Amen. So it's interesting that we do know that they're walking by faith. They're apostle. He's an apostle. But yet he also says, I don't want y'all to be ignorant. Look, I understand y'all are saved. I don't want y'all to be ignorant, because look, we're doing what God asked us to do and we're walking by faith every day. But I don't want y'all to be ignorant. What is ignorant? Just unlearned, or you don't know something, correct? So he's trying to let us know, right? Look, I don't want y'all to not understand. Look, we went to Asia and we were troubled. We were troubled and we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even what? Of life. Walking by faith does not assure you won't be challenged.
Amen.
Notice I said, you won't be challenged, sorry. Walking by faith doesn't mean you won't be pressed or pushed or tempted either.
Amen.
It doesn't mean that.
Amen.
Faith doesn't prevent all of that.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Faith doesn't prevent being pressed out, being despaired, right? Faith doesn't prevent that. Faith is your response to all of that.
Amen.
Faith doesn't prevent that. Faith is your response to all of that. Amen. In this, Paul learned to stop relying on himself. Paul was pushed beyond any place he was pushed before. He was pushed, right? He was pushed. Go to 2 Corinthians 4:8 real fast. Go back to 1 Corinthians. Or 2 Corinthians 1, go back to verse 8, please. Pull it up in the Amplified. Pull it up in the Message first. Hey, amen, you're doing a great job. We don't want you in the dark, friends, about how hard it was when all this came down on us in Asia province. It was so bad we didn't think we were going to make it. How many of us in the last year or two felt like we came up against something that was like, son, I don't think we... This is just pushing us to our limits now. You know, it's interesting. Faith will just continually carry you on if you'll continually stay with it. See, because Paul was pushed. He said we were pushed to where we didn't even think we were going to make it. But yet he continued to go. What allowed him to do that? Faith. But see, he was pushed to a place he was never pushed before. In the military, I enjoyed it because there was a lot of schools and things that we'd be able to go to. But some of the schools I went to, they were designed to break you. That's their whole design. Their whole design is to break you and make you fail. Because number one, I need to know if you get in hard times, are you just going to quit and walk away? So the school, before you even got into school, there was always like a pre-runner for the school. You'd have to make it through the pre-runner first to see if you even qualified. And so there was some, I went in this one school and I was there and I went in at like 175, I want to say 180, 180 pounds, maybe 175 maybe. But I came out at 155 and it was only a few weeks. And there were some things in like, and that was at that pre-ranger school. And then the road march, I've talked about that before. My legs, if y'all haven't noticed, I'm not that tall. Right? And so they got your mama, Mike, I heard you. No, I'm playing. Over there, right? Whatever, Mike. Anyways, but the guy leading the road march was 6-something. And so his strides and my strides, totally different. Also found out he had a pillow in his rucksack. Yeah, cheated like a mug. That's why he could walk so fast. But hey, he already made it. He's just training us. And so you do what you want. You're the instructor, right? But I was like, because you had to have 45 pounds in your ruck. And you had to have a certain amount of water. Well, the water was to drink. You had to drink your canteens because they had checked them at the end. And if you didn't drink them, you were disqualified. And so, because they had to undo it and pour it. And if any water came out, you were done. But even though you drank the water, your ruck still had to weigh 45 pounds, so you had to compensate for the water that you're going to drink, right? And so I was struggling. And so this is one time in my life I wanted to quit. And it was never instilled in me growing up to quit. You don't quit nothing. Yeah. Nothing. You start something, you're going to finish it. Yeah. Because number one, we don't realize how much natural things actually will convert to spiritual things, to godly things. Naturally, if we're just designed to quit all the time, what am I going to do in my faith walk if it gets hard then? If it gets hard and rough, I'm just going to quit then and back off. Because if that's just what I naturally do now, what do you think I'm going to do spiritually? Well, that's too hard, man. I'm just going to quit. But that was one time in my life I told the guy, I said, I can't make it. One of my buddies, he said, look, you can make it. He said, stay behind me and don't stop. He said, don't look up. Keep your head down and just keep moving. And the guy in the front carrying the flag, he fell out. And so they were like, Edwards, grab the flag, you know, because you can't let it drop. So I had to, and I'm going along and I told my buddy, I said, I can't do it, man. My leg's too short. I can't even move my arms now because I'm holding this flag. I'm over here just dying, right? Thought I was anyways. And he said, give me the flag and stay right behind me. I'll never forget it the rest of my life. And so I was able to finish, stayed right behind him, but he constantly pushed me. He'd always check on me. Ricky, you behind me. Yeah. Ricky, you behind me. Well, it was actually Edwards because we went by last names. Edwards, you behind me. Yeah, yeah. And so he'd constantly check on me. But that's one time I told him, I said, I'm going to quit. I can't make it. He said, you can make it. It's just right up there. Still like 4 or 5 miles away, but he said, it's just right there around this corner. We can do it. Let's go. Right? Kept lying to me, and so I just kept listening. But we made it. Hallelujah. That's the thing. We made it. And that was one time I pushed my body beyond what I really thought my body could go. I hit a point to where I said, this is all my body can take. This is it. Naturally, a lot of times we come up against something, even spiritually, we're like, this is it. This is all we can take. Is it though? Is it, or can you go a little bit more?
Amen.
Y'all remember that one test we did that one evening? I think it was, how was it? I done forgot. Turning. Yeah, you was turning, seeing how far you could go. And then I had everybody close their eyes and see themselves turn. And then everybody went like, how much more? Like a lot further than what they did the first time. It's amazing. Whenever you can see yourself doing something, and then you can start doing it. But when I told everybody to turn, they all just kind of went right here. But then I said, close your eyes, see yourself turning a lot further. And everybody was just like, whew. I was like, well, how many of y'all went further? Everybody raised their hand. You can always go further than what you actually think you can. Your body is just, it's an amazing thing that God created. God didn't create our bodies to fail.
Amen.
Just like he didn't create you to fail. And so Paul, he finally came up against something, right? And he learned to stop relying on himself.
Amen.
Stop thinking that he would be able to fix the problem. Well, maybe if I do this and I can do that, and then I can save here, and then I can put away here, and then I can take this medicine. He stopped relying on himself. We got to stop relying on ourselves. We got to stop thinking that we know how to fix it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to talk to this side because y'all ain't going to say nothing over here. Amen. We got to stop thinking that we know how to fix it.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Because, you know, naturally, that's a lot of us, that's how we are. We're fix-it people. And so we want to fix it. But that'll get you in trouble if you continually do that. Learn to step back and go, all right, God, what do I need to do here? What do I need to do? What's my next steps here?
Amen.
And he'll let you know. Well, you know, I prayed for 30 minutes. Okay, well, continually stay there. Well, you know, my favorite TV show's coming on, though. Well, either you want the answer or you don't, you know. So there you go.
Amen.
I'll just leave that right there with you.
Amen.
Amen. It was so bad, we didn't think we were going to make it. We felt like we'd been sent to death row. Amen. And I'll tell you, you know, sometimes it feels like you're just like, you know what, this is it. I'm leaving. I'm tired of messing with these people. I'm out. And, you know, everybody's been like that. Everybody's come up against something like, that's it, man. This is just too hard. But is it too hard? No, our feelings are hurt a little bit. See, we got over into our senses now. And we got out of the word.
Amen.
Amen. We felt like we had been sent to death row, that it was all over for us. As it turned out, it was the best thing that could have happened.
Amen.
See, I wonder if we just stayed with it to the end, what the end result would look like.
Amen.
What does the end result look like? A lot of people don't know because they quit. Because it got a little rough. It got a little hard. Well, I've been believing God for this for 2 years. Well, join the rest of people.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do? Stop believing?
Amen.
Because you're still doing something.
Amen.
Amen. So y'all ain't wanting to answer over here again. So we're going back to this side. So either, what are you going to do? Stop believing? Because either you're believing or you're not believing. But you're doing something. You're believing something. Amen. Instead of trusting in what?
Our own strength.
Our what?
Wits.
To get out of it. Well, you know, I've seen this kind of thing. I'm going to Google it. See what these people did. Well, just because somebody got out of something one way, you really think that's how you're going to get out of something? Because what does how they got out of something have anything to do with you? Amen. We all got... got different things. We all have to be led by the Spirit of God. God could be leading them one way and you do a totally different thing.
Amen.
So you can't start looking at other people going, well, how'd you get out? Ask God, don't ask man, don't ask another person, how'd you do it? Now, a lot of times, not a lot, but sometimes I will ask my parents or other people, hey, we're facing this, how'd you kind of handle this kind of stuff?
Yeah.
You know, some things, not everything, yeah. Right? And once again, I do have to say, you have to be led 100% of the time.
Amen.
Be led. Amen. If you're led to ask somebody, hey, how'd you handle a situation like this? I know you went through something. Then ask. But if you're not, ask God.
Yes,
He'll let you know. He's not just letting you wander around in the dark going, I hope y'all make it. I'm not sure if you will, but good luck, maybe. Because we'd all be dumb having followed somebody like that. But thank God he's not like that.
Amen.
I said, thank God he's not like that.
Amen.
We were forced to trust God totally. Amen. Not a bad idea, since he is the God who raises the dead.
Amen.
See, I love that. I do. Amen. And he did it. Rescued us from certain doom. He'll do it again. Rescuing as many times as we need rescuing. You and your prayers are part of the rescue operation. I don't want you in the dark about that either. I can see your faces even now lifted in praise for God's deliverance of us, a rescue in which your prayers played such a great critical part. Amen. Pull up the Amplified now, please. For we don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about the affliction and oppressing distress. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm not believing that, but you don't have to believe for it. Amen. Satan wants to kill you. Satan wants to steal from you. He wants to destroy you. Amen. But he can't. Even if he wants to, he can't. Amen. I should have heard a really good amen when I said he can't. He can't. He can't. For we do not want you uninformed, brethren, about the afflictions and oppressing distresses which befall us in the province of Asia. Amen. Like I was saying, Paul stopped relying on himself. He was, just because Paul was pressed, pushed, challenged, he never allowed it to get in him. He kept unbelief, questioning, and doubt out of his mind.
Amen.
Amen. Where did I put it? Paul was pushed beyond any place he was pushed before. We do get pushed a lot of times, and a lot of times that we're just getting stretched. Like I said, our bodies are just, they're magnificent. They really are. And you can go further than what you think. Me and Chelsea started watching this TV show, I forgot the name of the town. It's up in Alaska. Maybe 20 people live there, 30 people or something. And just out there in the middle of nowhere. No cops, no fire stations, nothing like that, right? But living out there like that, no electricity, no running water, you know, if you want to live like that, go for it. But we have that stuff, I'm going to use it. That's just me, you know? But, you know, what I'm trying to say is their natural body, they're still able to handle all that. See, a lot of times we're like, man, I don't know if I could go without AC or heat. Well, you know, how far can your body really go? Have you ever really pushed it? Have you ever pushed it in faith?
Amen.
Amen.
Believe in God for things.
Yes.
We can go a lot farther than what we think we can. We just, a lot of times we don't like pressure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing.
Amen.
We don't like opposition.
Yes, right.
We don't, you know, it's because then, you know, it gets a little hard. And who likes hard? I just want to coast through life.
Come on.
Amen. Moving on. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. Well, Yeah, we'll read this. Which befell us in the province of Asia, how we were so utterly and unbearably weighed down and crushed that we despaired even of life itself. Man. But yet they never allowed questioning God. God, why me?
Amen.
Do you see that anywhere where Paul said, God, why me, God? Why not somebody else?
Amen.
How many times have we been in that and said the why me, though? And it's not God that's doing it. Satan's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't want you to do the plan of God, that God has on your life. He doesn't want you to. He doesn't want other people being saved and living a victorious life. He wants people to live in defeat. How we were so utterly weighed down and crushed that we despaired even of life itself. Next, please. Nine. Indeed, we felt within ourselves that we had received the very sentence of death. Amen. I don't know that I've ever been that deep in like that, like had things on me like that, to where I was just like, son, kill me now. Just end it. I just want to be done, over with. Amen. But I have had my moments of whining. I will say that. I have had my moments of complaining. I have had my moments of, God, why? And not with a laughing voice. God, why? With a frustration. Because either I'm in faith. I don't know what that is. Either I'm in faith or I'm in frustration. And we can't be confusing the two. Frustration is always complaining in the why, God, me. Why? Why is this going on? Well, now the AC's out in the car. What happened there? God, what's that up with? I just fixed the tires.
Come on.
But that was to keep us from trusting in. See? But that was to what? To keep us from doing what? Trusting in and depending on ourselves instead of what? Amen. All right, go to 2 Corinthians 4:8, please. Y'all getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Hopefully, amen. Every time I study, I look at my notes and I go, man, we're going to be out of here in like 20, 30 minutes today. And then we get going, and then y'all keep me on like the first scripture, and I'm like, well, guess we out that window. All right. Excuse me. I didn't even cover the mic. Did you see that? I went on that. Moving along. All right. 2 Corinthians 4:8, it says, we are hedged we are hedged in, pressed on every side, troubled and oppressed in every way. In every way. How many of us feel like that? Because sometimes it feels like you just up against it. Amen. But am I going to allow that to get on the inside of me? Am I going to allow the frustration to show up instead of faith? But oppressed in every way, but not cramped or crushed. We suffer embarrassments and are perplexed and unable to find a way out, but not driven to despair. Pull that up in the King James, please. We are troubled on every side. That's what Paul was saying. He said, we troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair.
Amen.
Amen. So living by faith does not assure you that you will not have any pressure, right? Because you will. But faith is your response to it, right? Amen. Faith is our response to it. But not distressed. I put that down. Then I put, you can't control what comes against you, but you can control what gets in you.
Amen.
You can't control what comes against you, but you can control what gets in you. Trouble all around isn't the same as trouble in your mind. Trouble all around isn't the same as troubled in your mind. In your mind, right? So everything coming against you, if you allow yourself to start meditating on it, you're allowing it in. Because now you're thinking on it and meditating on the problem and not the answer. Now you're allowing that to get down in your heart, your spirit, man, right? Because you constantly meditate on the problem, you're constantly going to have problem and see a problem.
Amen.
You meditate on the answer, well, victory is right in front of you.
Amen.
Perplexed. The word perplexed, it's like you're questioning what's going on. That's kind of what perplexed, if you think about it, it means, right? So this is where people are defeated right here. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. That's where some people are defeated because they start trying to figure out what's going on, not again, why me, right? Delaying believing until they understand. And so they're trying to figure out why this is happening to me, what's going on, how is this happening, instead of just staying with faith and believing God. Thank you, God. I'm the head, not the tail. See, they're trying to understand the problem first before, which is inevitably not allowing them to be in faith.
Amen.
Right? So it is delaying believing until they understand. Asking the questions, why? Why, God? So now you're delaying faith because you're not in faith because you're questioning what's going on, right? And so faith is not there because you're looking at the why, God? Why me again? Why is this going on? So now we're delaying faith, right?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Not in despair. That just lets us know that faith doesn't get down. Faith doesn't get depressed. Faith doesn't get sad. Faith doesn't throw their hands up and say, I quit.
Amen.
Faith doesn't give up.
Amen.
Faith is constantly moving forwards.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Well, it doesn't feel like I'm moving forward. Well, stay with it.
Yes.
Amen. Who cares? Just stay with it.
Amen.
Right? Amen. We're doing all kind of good. If all it takes is a flat tire or an unexpected bill or dishes in the sink to get you mad, then we need to look at ourselves again and adjust fire, right? Because if we're allowing these things to affect us and perplex us and distress us, then we're getting right out of faith into frustration. We're allowing the natural things to affect our spiritual man, right? Whenever we need to allow the Word of God to affect our spiritual man, right? Let's go over to Acts, please. Acts 16. Pull it up in the Passion, please. Acts 16, we'll start about verse 16. Verse 16. Amen. Stop playing, Ireland. You're making me laugh. One day, as we were going to the house of prayer, we encountered a young slave girl who had an evil spirit of deviation. The spirit of Python, she had earned great profits for her owners by being a fortune teller. She kept following us, shouting, "These men are servants of the great high God, and they're telling us how to be saved." Day after day, she continued to do this. How long did she continue to do that? Interesting, Paul wasn't quick to command that evil spirit to leave, huh? So why are we always so quick to try to jump on stuff and pray on it? If it's an emergency, that's one situation. But I guarantee that he waited. It says greatly annoyed, but I guarantee he was led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God said, "All right, that's an evil spirit, now cast it out." Because he probably didn't know what was going on. Some great girl's just following him around saying, "Hey, these are the servants of the Most High God. They come to show us how to be saved," right? He doesn't know. Because if you're not in the Spirit, how do you know if anybody's got a demon? Or an evil spirit. Right? And so he had to be led by the Spirit of God. And then once he was led, then he got direction. And he knew how to handle it or pray for it. So a lot of times that's what we need to be asking God for, direction on how to handle something, on how to pray about something, instead of just jumping on the gun ready to pray for it. Right? Amen. All right, so moving on. Annoyed turned and said with... day after day she continued to do this until Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit indwelling her, "I command you in the name of Jesus, the anointed one, to come out of her now." At that very moment, the spirit came out of her. When her owners realized that their potential of making profit had vanished, they forcefully seized Paul and Silas and dragged them off to the city square to face the authorities. When they appeared before the Roman soldiers and magistrate, the slave owners leveled accusations against them, saying, "These Jews are troublemakers. They're throwing our city into confusion. They're pushing their Jewish religion down our throats. It's wrong and unlawful for them to promote these Jewish ways, for we are Romans living in a Roman colony." A great crowd gathered, and all the people joined in to come against them. The Roman officials ordered that Paul and Silas be stripped of their garments and what?
Beaten with rods.
On their back, bare backs, right? Yeah. After they were severely beaten, they were thrown into prison, and their jailer was commanded to guard them securely. So the jailer placed them in the innermost cell of the prison and had their feet bound and chained. Now, I've talked about this before. Obviously, there was a man did a study on this, and I found out about it. I was reading it. But he said that anybody that got thrown in this jail, because it was obviously underneath the castle, the sewer and everything ran through it, it was. They said the life expectancy was like 2 or 3 months. Well, that's not very long. Okay, well, let's say 6 months then. So there's sewer running underneath this, right? And this is where the jailhouse is. And now you're beaten and all your open wounds. Do you know what that'll do? That'll kill you quick, right? And so they were thrown after they were beaten, right? And it never says that they clothed them back, does it? It says they beat their bare backs and then threw them into prison. Right? Next, please. Paul and Silas, what?
Undaunted.
Undaunted. Whine and complain and say, "Why me, God?" Oh, God, not again. But God, I thought you told me to do this. Amen. So undaunted. I obviously was led to look it up. So I did. I'll read you the definition. One of the definitions was not intimidated or discouraged by difficulty, danger, or disappointment. Undaunted means not intimidated or discouraged by difficulty, danger, or disappointment. It all out of the Noah Webster 1928 or 1828, whatever, I forget the date. It says, not subdued or depressed by fear.
Amen.
Not subdued or depressed by fear. But I really enjoyed, that really helped me out when I read that first one. It said, not intimidated or discouraged by difficulty.
Amen.
Danger or disappointment.
Amen.
Not discouraged by it. So even though they were beat and thrown in this jail, they did not allow that to affect their emotions, their attitude.
Amen.
Attitude, key word.
Amen.
Attitude.
Amen.
Hallelujah. One bit, because were they out there shoving Jewish law down everybody's throat?
No.
But yet, that doesn't say that they were rebuttaling what they were saying?
No, sir.
But yet, they were able to keep their attitude in check. They were able to keep their mouth in check. Because all these that's the word, that everybody was throwing against them, were they true? How many have you had thrown against you that are not true?
Amen.
And have you tried to justify what you were doing?
Amen.
It's not your job.
Amen.
If you're doing what God asked you to do, keep doing it.
Yes, sir.
People are going to talk regardless.
Yes.
They've always talked.
Yes.
We just know about it faster because of all the internet things now.
Amen.
But who cares? Because if Paul can go through it, and then Paul and Silas in jail can go through that, somebody saying that, oh, well, you're just out for everybody's money, shouldn't have let that affect me at all then.
Amen.
All right, moving on. Amen. Paul and Silas, undaunted. I'm going to read that definition again. Not intimidated.
Yeah.
Not intimidated.
Yeah.
Or discouraged.
Amen.
Or discouraged. I can't believe it. They're talking about me again. I wonder who's next.
Amen.
Not discouraged. Because you know what, you know who you need to know? You know who I know it, I can see it in my head what I'm trying to say. You know, hallelujah. moving on. You know who you need to find out what they're saying about you is? You need to find out what God says about you. That's what I'm trying to get out. What does he say about you? What did God say about you? Who cares what everybody else says about you? They're going to say it regardless. What did God say about you? Have you found that out? Because a lot of times we'll go deep and we'll try to find out what everybody else has said about us. When's the last time I went to the Word to find out what God said about me? It's all right. It's fine, ma'am. You're good. When's the last time I found out what God said about me? Because whenever we find out somebody said something, what's the first thing we do? Don't sit here and look all holy. Y'all know good well what we do. We start calling people, hey, what'd you hear? Did you hear anything? Because so-and-so said something. I heard they said something. What'd they say? See, we ready to find out what somebody else says about us. Why ain't we that hungry to find out what God said about us? Undaunted means not intimidated or discouraged. Well, I'm not going to let nothing discourage me.
Amen.
Amen. Discouraged by difficulty, danger, or disappointment.
Yeah.
Difficulty, danger, or disappointment. Amen. Not going to let that stuff faze us, are we?
No,
and so they were there. And, you know, they had, if anybody had a right to complain. Because they're lying. They said that they were out there trying to shove the Jewish religion down their throats. They were not.
Amen.
Were they?
No.
No. And then they beat them, stripped them naked, beat them with rods, and threw them in jail.
Yeah.
Anybody had a good reason to complain and gripe them every time. But we hear, hey, so-and-so said this about you. We ready to fight them, the person that brought the message.
Amen.
Amen. We got to keep ourselves in check, don't we?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Where are we at, 25? Let's keep reading. Prayed in the middle of the night and sang songs of praise to God while all the other prisoners listened to their worship, right?
Yeah.
Suddenly.
Yeah.
And I wonder if sometimes that's why we don't see suddenlies. Because we're not in the praising God, but we're in the complaining God. Because that should be a great eye-opener for us. Because they got a suddenly. Well, let me go back and find out why they got a suddenly.
Amen.
Because in hardship, in difficulty, they whined and said, why me, God?
No,
they didn't. What'd they do? Go back. Prayed in the middle of the night. In the jail. Where they don't belong, where they rightfully should not be there. By no means. But yet they're still able to shut their mouth up, keep their emotions in check, and say, Father God, I just want to thank you and praise you. I just want to magnify you for everything you've done, for everything you're doing, for everything you will do. I thank you, God. This is only temporary. We might be here for a minute, but who cares? I'm still going to praise you in this moment. I'm still going to praise you in this difficulty.
Amen.
See, but a lot of times in the difficulties, we're like this. God, I can't believe they would say something like that. They know better. Amen. I know I'm preaching to me this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But yet they were able to keep their emotions. Man, that's obviously a big thing right now, right? Because the Holy Ghost won't let me leave. But their emotions, and their mouth in check.
Amen.
In check. Because how hard would that be not to just really go off on somebody? They just beat you, threw you in prison, and you're wrongfully accused. And you know good and well that people, whenever people say stuff, it's not true about you.
Amen.
You know it's not. And so, you know, we're all the same. And a lot of times, first thing we want to do is what? Yeah, man, we going to handle this like some grown-ups. But he is able to keep his mouth, his attitude.
Yeah. Come on. Amen.
There might be some things coming up, some situations to where you're going to have to go back to this.
Amen.
Check your mouth, check your attitude, check your emotions. And you'll go through it quicker than you ever thought you would.
Amen.
But if you complain and you start griping about it, you'll have to camp out there for a while.
Amen.
The more you praise, the quicker it'll go.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Well, man, son. We're going to stop there. Amen. Well, thank God for helping us. Amen. That was really good. I enjoyed that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Give me a second. Let me write that down.